Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to quickly, believe it or not, look at the entire chapter, but we read verses 1 through 8. And amazingly, Sister Liz, you set up this sermon right nicely. I was going to talk about show and tell, and I will talk about it, but not necessarily at length. Amen. But look at verse 8. That's the last verse we read. It says, bring forth therefore fruits meet or suitable for repentance. We're going to use for a subject. I can show you better than I can tell you. The old people used to say, I can show you better than I can tell you. Now go get that switch. Amen. Show and tell, when we were little, meant that you could bring something personal to show your classmates and then tell them a little bit about it. And the best show and tell item was always a live animal. Now, they don't let you do that anymore. All kinds of laws and stuff. But back then, somebody would bring a rabbit or a pet turtle, a hamster, or something living. And if they brought an animal for show and tell, how many of you know that it was all about the show? Because once we knew the animal's name, we didn't want to hear anything else. All we wanted to do was play with it, pet it, touch it, set it free, and run around the classroom and scare the teacher. Now that's show and tell. I can show you better than I can tell you. And so now we have in the 21st century another form of show and tell called social media. The challenge with this new version of social media show and tell is that it's not small children who are excited about bringing some personal token and telling a story behind it. Now, we have grown folks who are showing too much and telling it all. And the truth is, most of the time, I don't need to read your caption to understand what you mean to show me. Because oftentimes what you put in the caption is not what you meant to show at all. The picture tells the story. I can show you better than I can tell you. Now you have all kinds of filters that so that you can distort what you want to show. You can put flowers on your head. You can put doggy ears and a tongue coming out of your mouth with these filters. You can distort the view of your body so you are 50 pounds slimmer. You can take the blemishes. I have age spots. If I wanted to, I could take them away and have a flawless picture on social media. So now we've learned to show a distorted view of who we really are. So much so that you hear horror stories about people who meet who they think will be their next mate on social media, post a distorted picture of themselves, and you hear about the fight that ensues when you walk in or I walk in and I look nothing like the image that I portrayed. So in this 21st century of show and tell, the truth is we also have gotten to the place where we want to show and tell a distorted view of our spiritual self. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I came to tell you that as much as we try to fool people with distorted natural view, and certainly spiritual view, it's not working. And so we're going to be quick today and understand where we are in the scripture. By chapter 3 of Matthew, there has been about 30 years between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. So the chapter starts out by saying, in those days. Yeah. Well, in what days? Now, we could talk about who was in office, who was the religious leadership, who was the government leaders, and all of that, and all of it's relevant. Yep, yep. But one of the things that I think Matthew, the writer, whoever wrote Matthew, was trying to get across to us, is that in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He wants us to understand it's in the days of the gospel coming to life. Those are the days that the writer wants us to understand. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, which means to change your mind. Pray with me and for me. Means to change your mind about where you are spiritually, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the first time that the kingdom of heaven is used. The reason is the kingdom of heaven was Christ come down to earth. Heaven meets earth. God meets man in the form of Jesus Christ. So he says you need to change your mind about what you think religion is about. Change your mind. He said, for this is he, talking about himself, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. He's saying, I'm the one they were talking about. And I'm just like Elijah, kind of raw. I'm who I am. I'm not sugarcoating anything. I look plain. I sound plain. My speech is plain. Why? Because he was there to prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Understand something, that Jesus and anyone he sends is coming to you. You don't have to go find anything, be it a person, be it a job, a career, nothing. The Bible says, make his path straight. In other words, he's coming through to you. And so while you wait, young people, and not so young people, on your next move, please understand it's coming to you. I'm taking that for myself. I'm not going to look for anybody or anything. He, she, it is coming on the path that has been prepared. John the Baptist said, I'm preparing a path for the Messiah to come through. He can't come any other way, just like he told us we couldn't get to him any other way. There was a path for the Messiah to come to us. And he's still coming to us on the same path. Can I show you? And so please get in the will of God and stay there. And in verse 4 it says, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. Sound like Elijah to me. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. He said, I don't have time to prepare for this natural life because I'm preparing the way for the Messiah to come. What I want you to understand is you need to show people that you are God's man and God's woman. In the workplace, in the church house, in your home, you need to show. He, by the way he dressed and the way he ate, was saying, I'm God's man, I'm about God's business. Does that mean that we all need to shut down everything and become like John the Baptist? Absolutely not. But wherever he has placed you, people ought to know that you're there to represent God. In verse 5, it says, then went out to him all of these people from the surrounding area. He was out in the wilderness, but not so far that people couldn't hear him, not so far that people couldn't get to him. And the people, it says, came to him in verse 6 and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. These people heard the word and responded. They confessed their sins because he said that's how you must get in the right path and way for Jesus to get to you. You have to constantly be in a place of confession. Even 1 John tells us, even as saved people, we still sin. And we still have to constantly be repenting and changing our mind about who God is in our own life. So these people came out to be baptized, and these were Jewish people. So please understand, this was a big deal. Most of the time, the Gentiles would allow themselves to be baptized as they were being converted to Judaism. But for Jewish people to come out and be baptized was them saying there's another more excellent way. So when they began to come out, look at what happened in verse 7. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, look out, here comes flesh. Here comes religion. Here comes my way of doing things. But look at what John says to them, O generation of vipers, who warned you that you would flee the wrath of God if you got baptized? So look at what they were doing. They were saying, just in case this really is my way out, I'll go ahead and get baptized. Just in case this man has got something, he knows something, I'll go ahead and go through this formal procedure called baptism. Just in case. How many of us, just in case, it's the right thing to do to come to church. And just in case, I should be in Bible study and at choir rehearsal. Just in case, by performing these acts, I can get an in with God. I'll go ahead and go through it. He said, who warned you? In other words, he said, you're not here to really repent and confess. So somebody has misinformed you. So God wants you to know today, if you come here for any other reason than to be in the presence of the Lord, you've been misinformed. Now, interestingly, most people who are here today are not those people who are misinformed. Most of us are not those people who are misinformed, but there are so many. Do you know how many thousands of people go to church on Saturday and Sunday? Yes. Saturday if you are Seventh-day Adventist, and Sunday if you're a Christian, some other Christian belief. Millions of people go to church every Sunday. And based on the Word of God, I've always said this, I would say a third. Really? Have heard the word. Come here because God said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And you come here to get rejuvenated and re-energized so you can deal with non-believers. And so as soon as John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were really coming just in case, he said, you're not right. You're not right. You're coming for religious reasons. You're coming for moral reasons. You're coming because Mom and them came. You have all kinds of reasons why you show up. But is it really to be changed by the word of God? That's what he said. He told them. In verse number 7, he called them a generation of snakes. He said, look, the only way this is going to work for you, you got to change your mind. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits that are acceptable, suitable for repentance. Please don't come here for form and fashion, he said. We say all the time, if you come up and join the church and you get dipped and you've never been born again, you just become up wet. But there's no change. So he told them, you need to make sure that you're not coming out of tradition. Make sure you're not coming just because you're a solid rocker. But come on in here because you want Jesus. And look at verse 9. He says, and don't try it. Don't try to tell me about Father Abraham. He says, stop fronting. Stop hiding behind Abraham and Moses and all the 502 laws that you've added to the Ten Commandments. He said, stop hiding. So I ask you today, what are you hiding behind? We heard it earlier, it's graduation season, it's vacation season. You know, this is the year, this is the time of the year where you can tell the haves and the have-nots. I would be considered a have-not because I can't pick up and go to France. I can't. So what do you have that is more valuable to you than your Jesus? Remember I told you early on, this is one of those days you got to listen to the word, hear it, and receive it. It's not going to be forced on you today. Amen. What do you have that you're fronting with? They were fronting with Abraham, and he knew it was coming. And what did he tell him? He said, God is able to make these stones right here, children of Abraham. God is able to take every member of Solid Rock, turn y'all out in the street, and bring another whole set. He said, so I'm not impressed with your associations. And so no matter what they said, they showed him who they were. No matter what your testimony is, what you do tells me who you are. What I do tells you who I am. He said, God does not need you, so stop using him as a front. My goodness. It's funny, we'll do almost anything and throw a prayer on it. Throw a praise on it. Make it part of our testimony. Yeah. Lord have mercy. And so in verse 10, and now also the axe is laid, unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is chopped down and cast into the fire. He said, no more games. He said, because the tree was Israel. He said, you were the root. But because you didn't want Messiah and still don't want him, the axe is not in its leather cover anymore, hanging up on the wall. He said, here's your chance to repent and turn and change your mind. He said, but if when you don't, the axe is ready to cut you off. Because there are some people, Gentiles, you and I, who are ready to take your place. That's what he's talking about here. He says, I'm going to cut off the people that are God's just because God chose them. Just for a season. Just for a season. He said, but then I'm going to bring in the Gentiles. Verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Notice now, he's giving them the opportunity. He's talking to all of them. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's saying to them, all I'm asking you to do is change your mind. But there's one coming after me that if you don't change your mind, if you can't handle this, how are you going to handle the Holy Ghost? So many people think they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know who he is? And so he's saying to them, somebody's coming after me. You got baptized with water. You were immersed in, overwhelmed by, for a moment. You do know that when you go underwater, it's close to death. I'm talking about the natural. He says, I'm just submerging you in water, and for a moment, you're stunned. But we're talking now about the Holy Ghost baptism. So over and over and over again, you are immersed and overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost if you're born again. I don't know if we understand what that means. Holy Ghost is a fire. And so every time he comes and overwhelms you and immerses you in his presence, something ought to burn up. Some attitude ought to burn up. Some way of treating people ought to burn up. So now what am I to think? Or what are you to think of me if I haven't changed in years? What Holy Ghost? Do we take him that lightly? John the Baptist is saying to them, I'm asking you to change your mind, to get prepared for what's coming. And I can't even get some of you to do that. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had no intentions of turning. Had no intentions of changing their mind. They just came for the ritual. He said, now, if you can't even handle doing this small thing with sincerity, how in the world do you think you will handle the Holy Ghost himself coming to baptize you in his presence? Over and over and over again. Read the Bible. Once he begins living in you, when you pray to him and when you get with the saints and we begin to praise together, the Holy Ghost indwells you and he springs up in you. And he's supposed to be changing us. Where's the change? I hear what you say to me. You hear what I'm telling you about God in my life. But what are you showing? What am I showing you on a day-to-day basis? This is for me too. Now look at verse 12. We're almost done. Jesus is coming with a winnowing fan in his hand. And he's going to thoroughly purge his floor, gather his people, keep them and those who are playing games. He said, you will be burned up with unquenchable fire. So what would happen is they would get there where the wheat was with a big old fan, and they would start to fan like this. And if you were like chaff, you would blow away in the wind, because the wheat has weight. And what he's saying to them is, if you don't get on the Lord's side now, that when that purging comes, how many of you know what's happening? There's scripture in the Bible that says in these days, right here, he's separating. He's separating his people from the people who look like his people. He's certainly separating those out who don't even claim to be his. But that bone and marrow thing is going on too, where some of us sitting here, and I say us, look the part. But when that fan comes, you have heard that the Holy Ghost is like wind. When that fan comes, and that wind comes, that wind can come in trouble. You do know you find out who people are when trouble comes. That's when you really, really, really know who people are. Is when, because they begin to blame God if they're not close to him. If you're not close to God and bad things happen to you, the first place you're going to go to blame is God. So he's separating his people from the wannabes. Now, after John has set this in order, he has said to them, this is not a joke. If you are not right with God, now's the time to confess it. Because he is going to come behind me and my message and do some work. Now, Jesus shows up in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, straight to John. He came straight up that path. The neat thing was, in those days when princes or dignitaries were traveling, because there were no highways, they would send out people ahead to clear a path for the princes or the dignitaries to travel. And they would set up signposts and different things so the dignitary would know exactly which way to go to get to the destination. So when Jesus knew that John had properly prepared the hearts of the people and cut a clean path, then comes Jesus in verse 13. He came from Galilee to the Jordan, where he knew John was, to do what? To be baptized. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Jesus himself, I have to confess my sins, and I have to repent. Jesus had no sin of which to repent. But what he does here, he says, I can show you. Lord have mercy. The prophets told you about John. And the prophets told you about me. He said, but now I'm going to show you better than they told you. Look, look. He comes through. And if I was John, I would have done the same thing. In verse 14, John said, no. I have need for you to baptize me. And you're coming to me? In verse 14, he said, this seems out of order.
and this doesn't seem right. But one thing I know about Jesus is he didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do. He says, I don't need to be baptized, but I'm going to be baptized because I need to show you that what I have set up is right. How do I know that? Because in verse 15, Jesus said unto him, oh, come on, permit it to be so, because we need to fulfill all righteousness. He says, I need to show you what's right and then tell you to do what's right. He says, I can show you even better than I can tell you. And so then John says, okay, fine, pray for me. 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, so it really happened, y'all. He went up out of the water, and the heavens opened. Now go back. He said, the kingdom of heaven is coming. So whenever Jesus did the right thing, the kingdom of heaven responded. Whenever you and I do the right thing, the kingdom of heaven responds. Now look at this. The kingdom of heaven opened up, and it says straightway, it says the heavens were open, and he saw what? The Spirit of God. There's that Holy Ghost descending like a dove and lighting upon Jesus. And then a voice from heaven, Lord have mercy, came down saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God said, as soon as you do the right thing, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost will respond. Now, how they respond depends on you. You need to show God better than you tell God that you're one of His. Now, the Bible says that Jesus went on multiple times to show us the right way. Remember when the devil took him out in the wilderness and tempted him? Jesus said, now I could tell you how to defeat the devil, but I can show you better than I can tell you. He said, so all you need to do, I'm going to show you how. All you have to do is quote what I said, and then you will flee from Satan, will flee from you for a season. And when he comes back, all you need to do is go back and look at how I showed you to do it. The Bible says that Jesus continued on demonstrating. Look how he showed us to deal with people. When the Pharisees and Sadducees were early on with Jesus, Jesus went out of his way to teach and preach to them. He said, these are God's people, so these are my people. So he went out of his way to take care of the Pharisees and God's people and the learned people, the religious people. He went out of his way. He said, but let me show you something. He said, because when they determine that they don't want you, when they determine that they don't want Jesus, then you need to start talking in parables. He said, let me show you. And they would answer, ask questions, and he would say, there was a man. There was a woman. And he would begin to tell stories. So he said, let me show you how to deal with people. And he would always, Jesus would always, always show you what he wanted you to do. And now the biggest show ever, because I'm getting tired, y'all pray for me. The biggest show ever, God said, the scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus said, I could sit up in heaven and just give you this book for you to read. God have mercy. He said, but guess what? I can show you better than I can tell you. So the Bible says he came down here and he allowed them to arrest him. He told the disciples, I'll be arrested. He told them they're going to beat me. He told them everything that would transpire, but they didn't believe him. Because sometimes when you hear it, you don't believe it. But once you see it, seeing is believing. So Jesus said, I'm going to show you that they'll arrest me. And he allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be beaten. He showed God's love rather than just tell them that God loves you. He said, I'll show you how much God loves you by going to Calvary. Come on and give God praise right there. He demonstrated God's love by going to the cross. He said, I can save you. Let me show you. And he turned to the thief and said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said, I can provide for you. Let me show you. He looked at his mother and he said, go home with this man and he'll take care of you. He told the man, John, his favorite disciple, he said, take care of my mother. He said, you can die in Christ. Let me show you. The Bible says, he said, into thine hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Then he said, you can be born again. Let me show you. Because the Bible says they buried him. And he stayed in the grave for 3 days and three nights. He said, but let me show you how you can be resurrected by God. And on that Sunday morning, the Bible says God raised him up with all power in his hand. He said, I really am Jesus, resurrected from the dead. He said, let me show you, because I can show you better than I can tell you. So he walked through a wall for him. He put out his nail-scarred hands for him. He made him some fish. He fed him. And then he told him to go and make disciples like yourself. Then the Bible says he ascended up to glory. And the Bible tells me that one day, the Bible tells me that one day he's coming back for you and he's coming back for me. Now, if Jesus has a history of showing better than telling, keep your head to the sky, because Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, I believe he's going to look at us and say, I told you, I can show you. Better than I can. I thank him. Anybody sick in your body? The Bible tells me that by his stripes we are healed. And the Bible tells me that Jesus has a habit of showing us. So I receive for myself. He says, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. Anybody got relationship issues? The Bible told us that God is a God of restoration. So if you receive it right now, Jesus said, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. Anybody got a financial issue? This is Rhema, y'all. Yeah. The Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The Bible says that he will supply all our needs. He says, I told you that I was going to take care of you. But he says, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. Better than I can tell you. Better than. Now somebody's standing here saying, well, where's my healing? Where's my relationship healing? Where's my financial blessing? And the Holy Ghost wants me to ask you, where's your repentance? Repentance is not a one-time act. Every time Jesus told his disciples to go out, he said, go out and preach repentance, turning, changed mind. And so in this case, you don't have the things that you've been praying for. Maybe you need to change your mind about his ability. You think repentance from sin. Do you know the sin of unbelief? Somebody ought to pray right now. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's here. And Jesus said, I'm going to show you that I'm here. Because if you can believe in this service, and I'm telling you, I'm taking it. When Jesus and his provision and his healing come to meet me, I intend to be on that path. He's not going to have to find me to bless me.